Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. A second Louisiana lawmaker has a legalized marijuana bill. We told you about the first one a week or two ago on the show. There's a Democratic state representative from New Orleans who has a legalized marijuana bill. She's been joined by a Republican from the North Shore who has a legalized marijuana bill. We're going to talk about that coming up on the show. But the reason I brought that up is because all of our state reps and our state senators, they're working. This is the time of year they go to Baton Rouge to try to make a name for themselves. And one Louisiana lawmaker has a bill, just filed it, making it potentially illegal to teach about racism and sexism. He says the bill promotes equality in our education system. A new proposed bill in the Louisiana House of Representatives aims to make it potentially illegal for teachers to teach certain things about racism or sexism. Quote, it's written from a viewpoint as everybody's treated equally, said State Representative Ray Garofalo. He's from District 103, and this is his bill. Garofalo is also the chairman of Louisiana's House Education Committee, and he's proposing a new bill to ban what he calls divisive concepts in pretty much all Louisiana school systems. He says, quote, I want facts to be taught. I want our students to receive as much information as possible. I don't want to cover anything up. I think they should be informed so they can make informed decisions. And that includes giving them as much factual history as possible. But when you start teaching from one perspective, you're indoctrinating. And it's not fair to students, and it's certainly not fair to them as they become young adults, because then they may only get that one side of the story. So I want to make sure that they're getting both sides, or in sometimes multiple sides of the story, so that they can make their own informed decisions throughout their careers. He calls it an equality bill. This is interesting, Coleman.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head. It seems like he has the right idea in mind, but he's going about it the wrong way. Because if he's saying he wants to get all perspectives on a particular issue, then that means you don't ban a perspective. Instead of you will want to promote another one. He's saying he doesn't want the perspective of sexism and racism to only come from one perspective. And I get that. You don't want one side if racism and sexism is being taught. However, instead of trying to ban that one perspective in being taught. You promote the another perspective or multiple perspectives from being taught. And another thing I disagree with, I don't think you should ban any form of knowledge or education. And even if it is coming from one perspective, I'm not for censorship. I'm not for banning certain things from being into light. I'm all about if you have a curiosity of it, it should be taught. I don't think any knowledge should be banned or censored from any educational system.
Well, there are some places in America where students from a young age are taught that this is a racist country.
And I agree with that. There is.
And he doesn't want that. Now, his equality bill here in Louisiana, he talks about divisive concepts. And he lists divisive concepts in his bill for educators to potentially not teach about. Here's some of the divisive concepts. That one race or sex is inherently superior or inferior to another race or sex.
I can agree that no one race or sex is superior to the other one, but is there a perspective out there that says one race is, like, is somebody out there promoting that? Is somebody out there saying, yeah, we believe that this sex is superior, this race is superior? I don't think anyone in any educational system is out there promoting that one race is superior to another race.
And when he talks about sex, he probably means gender.
Yeah.
Because you start talking about one sex is better than the other, and then you start, what do you mean? I like all different types of sex. You know, missionary position. I like different positions of sex. Oh, no, he's talking about gender. Oh, okay. Something else he says in the, here's another divisive concept he lists. That either the United States of America or the state of Louisiana is fundamentally, institutionally, or systemically racist or sexist. He does not want that to be allowed to be taught in schools. And I know there are schools in America that teach children that our country is systemically racist.
I understand that, but I disagree with that. I disagree that the United States or the state of Louisiana is systemically racist. However, I don't think that should be banned from any educational system because it could be a good thought experience, or thought experiment, I should say. I think the concept of it should be presented. Like, do you believe that Louisiana or the United States is systemically racist? If so, tell me your argument and tell me why. Like, I believe that that's a good point to, you know, debate if there's a debate class or if there's a thought experiment in school. I think
it doesn't say anything about debating here. It's just he doesn't want that to be taught.
And that's why I disagree with him on that one. I think it should be presented. It shouldn't be taught as if it's complete fact.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be banned. Even if somebody does bring it up, it should be an issue that is brought up and taught and thought about and taught about.
Well, you should be able to discuss it and talk about it. You just shouldn't be able to teach it as fact.
You shouldn't.
That's what he's saying.
I know that, but there shouldn't be a law banning. Even if somebody is trying to teach that as a complete fact, I don't think that should be banned either. That person should just be questioned and be like, hey, why are you doing this? But I don't think it should be banned. I don't think any form of education should be banned, even if it is some belief, some form of indoctrination.
Well, he doesn't want it taught either. Here's another one on his list, that an individual, by virtue of that individual's race or sex, gender, is inherently or systemically racist, sexist, or oppressive, whether consciously or unconsciously, or has negative or positive characteristics that inhere in the individual's DNA.
I get what he's trying to do. Don't get me wrong. And I agree with some of his platforms, but I just don't agree with having.
And there's a few more on this list, that an individual should be discriminated against, favored, or receive differential treatment solely or partly because of that individual's race or sex, gender. And then he continues, that individual of one race or sex should be treated disrespectfully regarding that individual's race or sex, that an individual's moral character in any way defined, described, or determined by the individual's race or sex. And that an individual, by virtue of the individual's race or sex, bears responsibility or is to be held accountable for actions committed in the past by other members of the same race or sex. So I think the word he should be using is gender, not sex. But he's got more down the list. But this would be something. I don't know if this is going to fly. Again, I agree with him that that you shouldn't teach children that because of race or gender, because of those reasons, that this country is racist and sexist. And again, he breaks it down, and I just gave you a few of the breakdowns. But we'll see if this bill will pass. But making it potentially illegal to teach some things about racism and sexism, he says his bill promotes equality in our education system.
Yeah, that could be a slippery slope. But I don't think anyone should be able to go to jail because of what they teach. It's just censorship just from another side, you know?
Yeah, and again, I mean, you look at some colleges, universities, and some high schools and some school systems in the United States, they are teaching our children.
But they shouldn't go to jail for it, though.
That they're growing up, in a racist, sexist country. And this bill here in Louisiana says, wait, we shouldn't be teaching our children that.
We shouldn't be, but I don't think somebody should actually face, you know, jail time or making it potentially illegal for them to do so. You know, if we have the freedom of religion, why not have the freedom of what you believe is education?
Hey, if you're listening, you can text us. Do you think this bill should pass? And look, we should not teach our children that the United States is a racist, sexist place. We shouldn't teach our children. Now, we should maybe, perhaps, as they get older, give examples of racism and sexism, but we shouldn't teach our children that this country is a racist, sexist place. Interesting, and again, I gave you some of the what he defines in his bill. What he doesn't want taught. You could text us. You know, I think it's great to talk about these things in school, but to teach them. I don't want kids being taught that our country is a systemic racist place, is a systemic sexist place. I mean, sure, that behavior has happened in the past, and we could talk about that. But to teach our kids that's how our country is, no. Because if you're going to do that, you could say our country is a lot of things and give examples. 260-9595, 504-260-9595. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. LSU football program now is resembling a dumpster fire. A second federal investigation into the LSU football program. Also on the show today, there are a ton of jobs available in the state of in the city of New Orleans and around the city of New Orleans. They're saying many, many more jobs are available now than that were available before the pandemic. Stay tuned for that. And also in the Ninth Ward, they're going to try for the second time in a decade to get a football stadium built right next to George Washington Carver High School. The first time they tried a decade ago, the first $1 million that got raised was stolen, and so they stopped. But now they got different people. They want to make that happen. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans-only classic rock station, and Odyssey station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And a big story in the city over the last few hours is that there's a group of people that want to resurrect the idea of a sports stadium in the upper Ninth Ward. They tried doing this about 10 years ago, and they raised $1 million. And that $1 million was stolen, gone, lost, and they stopped after that happened. Well, here we are 10 years later, and there's a new group of people led by the former president of the New Orleans City Council, Arnie Philko. Remember Arnie? And they want to raise a bunch of money, and they want to build Ninth Ward Stadium right next to George Washington Carver High School over there. Now, look, I'm all for building. I'm all for building new things. And if they could find people that want to donate, you know who's leading the way along with Arnie Philko? Former Saints running back Deuce McAllister. And if a group of people led by these two, if they want to donate money and help try to raise money to build Ninth Ward Stadium, more power to them. If people want to donate, a new nonprofit led by local politicians, Deuce McAllister, community members, they're trying to raise $5 million to resurrect a failed stadium project in the upper Ninth Ward. The new group, called Ninth Ward Stadium Incorporated, is seeking $1.5 million in capital outlay funding from the Louisiana legislature, which will decide what projects to fund in July. They're going to take that on. If this group gets that money, it will need to raise $3.5 million from private donors, because it'll cost them $5 million to build this stadium. And if this stadium gets built, and again, it'll be the home football stadium of George Washington Carver High School, which, like every other public school now in New Orleans, is under the charter school umbrella. So they're looking for $1.5 million from the Louisiana State Legislature. And then if they can get that, they would be looking for $3.5 million in privately donated funds and raised funds. And not only would George Washington Carver High School play their football games there, that would be a football stadium for every high school in the district who wants to play there. You might remember 10 years ago, this was they tried this, and it was under the name of Ninth Ward Field of Dreams. They spent $1 million in donations, and they have nothing to show for it. They money was stolen, misspent, lost, whatever the case may be. And so Arnie Philco now is saying that that this is a great project. These are new people. This is 10 years later. Arnie says, quote, "I've been working my butt off, and now we have to go out and raise the money." Again, the only question you would have, should the Louisiana State Legislature have to put up $1.5 million, because that's taxpayer money from everybody in the state of Louisiana. If they can get $1.5 million from the Louisiana State Legislature, then they would go out and raise and find the other $3.5 million. I mean, look, I'm all for building, and I'm all for donating and raising money, private capital. I'm not sure about the $1.5 million that would come from the Louisiana State Legislature.
Yeah, you and I are the same thought process. When you were saying that earlier about the Louisiana legislative money, I was thinking to myself, I would feel personally more confident if it was all private donations from the private sector, you know, people who are really invested in it without having to go through the legislator or whatnot.
Isn't that something? Think about that. 10 years ago, they tried this, and they got $1 million going, and then all of a sudden, it disappeared.
But that's what it comes when it comes to big projects like this.
I remember that.
When it comes to big projects like this, the money just doesn't go for the building of the whatever they're trying to build. It goes to feeding, cars, travel, other expenses beyond just building. So I can see how it could be mismanaged, not necessarily stolen. They have nothing to show for it. I get that. Stolen would mean that somebody purposely intended to just take that money without even having the Field of Dreams, the Ninth Ward Field of Dreams, not even putting a nail inside of a piece of wood. But I can see it being more mismanaged. I wasn't there at the time 10 years ago. I was probably at some bar getting drunk. But I can see how money is easily mismanaged, because a lot of people, you know, when they get into nonprofits or when they get into personal projects, they don't necessarily have that experience of money management. They just have a passion for something that they want to do, and they mismanage the money, not accounting for expenses that they haven't thought of.
Well, Arnie Philco says this is a new group of people. This is don't worry about it. And he's saying that this is going to be a bigger, grander stadium project under this new Ninth Ward Stadium Group, led by Arnie Philco, the former president of the New Orleans City Council, also led by former Saints running back Deuce McAllister and others. Arnie is very excited about it. Look, I'm all for building. I love seeing new things built, whether they're buildings or football fields or whatever the case may be. Because building shows progress. I just hope they if they do start with this, they keep their eyes open for people around them. I mean, how much did that suck 10 years ago? Here are people that are donating money to build a football field for high school kids here in the city of New Orleans. in a part of town that's not the greatest, and people are investing in that part of town, yet people, some from around there, stole the money.
Yeah, but I think they have a better chance this time around because there's so many ways to see where the money goes. Now you can donate with Venmo and Cash App. You can do GoFundMes and Kickstarters and crowdsourcing. So you can actually have a digital paper trail of where the money is going.
And you've got names with better reputations who are in charge of this go around.
And you have 10 years to learn from the past time they tried to do this.
So, well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But anytime I see anything getting built, I get happy because you look at the people getting paid who are building whatever's being built, jobs are there. And then whatever gets built, there will be jobs and things happening in whatever has been built. I think this is pretty cool. They just got to keep their eyes open and make sure if they do go forward with this to keep an eye on all the money and make sure no thieves. But can you imagine being in a part of town that's not that great? People are trying to invest in a football field, a football stadium for kids in a rough part of town, the Ninth Ward, and when that started 10 years ago. People, some from that area, stole that money. Those people should be beaten, well, and jailed. I mean, people are trying to invest in your neighborhood and a part of town that needs the investment. So keep our eyes on this. But it's good to see the former president of the city council, Arnie Filko, still always trying to want to help the city, give back, raise money, and this is for the kids. All right, coming up on the show. There's a second federal investigation into LSU football, the wrongdoings that have been, they've been accused of in the past. We've already seen a bunch of people lose their jobs. And now a second federal investigation. The feds are looking into, boy, the LSU football situation. It's a dumpster fire right now. Stay tuned for that. And Gail Benson, she made more money last year. She's worth more money than she was last year, this year. But she dropped a bunch of rankings when it came to the richest billionaires in the United States. Stay tuned for those reports. And we have other things we got to get to. A lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. An Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. So the Forbes magazine list, the annual list they do of the richest Americans, the richest people, is out. And later in the show, we're going to tell you how Gail Benson, the richest human being in the state of Louisiana, owner of the Saints, Pelicans, and a whole lot more, she made a lot of money last year. She's worth more money this year than she was last year.
Cha-ching.
But she dropped a bunch of ranking spots. We'll explain coming up. But that list also told us that Kim Kardashian is officially a billionaire. Kim Kardashian is officially a billionaire. It all started with a sex tape. And the impressive thing about that is she made her fortune without working her ass off. Seen that thing lately? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. An Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Just reading about how there's a ketchup shortage that is affecting restaurants across the United States. You know, I've been concerned in my life that we'd run out of certain food items in our country. Ketchup is not something I ever thought about before. Do you remember a few years ago, right around Super Bowl time, we were running low on chicken wings as a country. There were some places that you couldn't get chicken wings like you used to be able to get chicken wings.
I remember that.
But I never thought about running out of ketchup. But because of the coronavirus pandemic, especially individual ketchup packets are in high demand, and suppliers can't seem to keep up with it. Since the start of the coronavirus pandemic, the price for individual ketchup packets has increased by 13%. Restaurants have been trying to stock up on the ketchup packets since the CDC recommended to avoid using or sharing items that are reusable, such as menus, condiments, and any other food containers. That, combined with many eateries reverting to takeout orders only, where ketchup packets would be included, has resulted in a shortage at restaurant chains like Long John Silver. That's something, talking to people in Louisiana about a seafood restaurant chain like Long John's Silver, when we get our seafood fresh daily out of the Gulf of Mexico. But anyways, I guess that seafood chain, I guess some people are putting ketchup on their seafood, the people who go to Long John's Silver. And Texas Roadhouse, that restaurant chain. Who in God's name puts ketchup on Texas, on steak? Who puts ketchup on steak?
They have fries, though, too, John. They have fries.
I guess they do. And I guess Long John's Silver seafood restaurant chain, I guess they sell maybe some sort of potato sides as well.
You know what we did to remedy that? Because we can't share the ketchup bottles for different restaurants, because if one customer comes in, they have the COVID, and they use the squeeze bottle, and then you have to replace that squeeze bottle. So, of course, the individual ketchup packets is preferred. But what we did was we took plastic cups and containers, and we squeezed a certain amount of ketchup in each one of the plastic containers. That way, if we did run out of the individual ketchup packets, we had like 2-ounce ketchup containers in stock just in case. That way, you didn't have to use the squeeze bottles.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah.
That's at your second job, which you are leaving pretty soon, because
don't give them a heads up in the morning. Okay.
But very soon, this is going to be your only job.
Yeah.
Hey, we finally were able to break the bank, huh? Hey, that's good news, Coleman. But anyways, getting back to this, we're running out of ketchup story. To combat this shortage, Heinz Corporation, which is America's most widely used ketchup brand, plans to increase single-serve packet production. They're going to make more ketchup packets by about 25%. They want to produce over 12 billion ketchup packets per year. That's a lot of ketchup packets. In the meantime, restaurants have been left to scramble for other generic ketchup brands.
Yeah,
you know, every ketchup brand doesn't taste the same.
I've noticed. So cue the environmentalist that's going to say, well, if you're going to have 12 billion ketchup packets, imagine the waste that it's going to produce.
Yeah, because you would hope everybody would throw the empty ketchup packet after licking it. They would throw it in the garbage, in a garbage can, but I hope we don't see a lot of empty ketchup packets on the streets like we see a lot of dirty masks.
Yeah, I'm thrilled now knowing that Taco Bell is not having a fire sauce shortage right now. That's my favorite. Of all the little small condiments that come in the packets, the Diablo sauce that comes from Taco Bell is by far the best.
I'll tell you, how much do condiments make life better?
So much better.
Isn't life so much better with condiments?
And now they talk to you now. They got little messages on the condiment packets. Hey, we love you too and stuff like that.
I just can't think how much lamer life would be without condiments. Retail sales for bottles of ketchup also soared over the past year during coronavirus. jumping over 15% compared to what they sold in 2019. And ketchup isn't the only food to be facing shortages during the pandemic. Pizza shops have been struggling to buy pepperoni, which is by far America's favorite pizza topping.
What, it beat pineapples?
Oh, yeah. Think about that. Ketchup packets and pepperoni on top of your pizza. Those things are getting short. And they're blaming the pandemic for that. Again, I've worried about running out of the foods. Like steak. But evidently, there's plenty of cows in this country.
Yeah.
Just like for the most part, plenty of chickens in this country, plenty of cows and plenty of pigs in this country as well.
But the theory goes, if you want to save an animal from becoming extinct, you eat it. Yeah, you eat it. Because if it's something that humans eat, humans will make sure they're in good stock. So they'll take care in breeding them, making sure there's more cows, more chickens, more pigs. So as long as humans eat the animal would never go endangered and never go extinct because we need them to eat.
Well, just like I never thought anything could shut down the United States of America before coronavirus. I never thought anything like that could happen. I never thought we'd be seeing a ketchup shortage because of that. Coronavirus shutdown of America.
Nicole says they need to take a page out of McDonald's book. You get 20-piece chicken nuggets, but only get 2 little cups of sauce. So maybe they should ration the package. You get a jumbo order of steak fries at Texas Roadhouse, and then they just give you 2 packets of ketchup.
You know, anybody who gets ketchup packets at Texas Roadhouse, it better be for a side of French fries, because anybody who puts ketchup on steak, I don't think they should have their credit score lowered, but something severe should happen to them.
But have you ever had that problem where you order like 50 wings and they only give you like 3 ranch dressings or something like that?
You got to order more. All right. Hey, thanks for the text. We always appreciate your text during our show. Text us anytime you want about anything you want. And if it's good, we'll always add it. We'll always try to add it to our show. Coming up next, a second federal investigation now into the LSU football program. Boy, their football program is looking like a dumpster fire right now. And they're being sued by someone who currently works for them. Someone who still works for them is suing them for $50 million. Could you imagine you still have a job going to your boss saying, I'm suing you for $50 million? Oh, now I got to go back to my desk and continue to work for you. Stay tuned for that coming up next. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock and Odyssey station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlind Morning Show, New Orleans morning radio show. And we've talked about an investigation going on at LSU into their football program. The newspaper USA Today has been documenting it into sexual misconduct by former LSU players. That's one investigation that's been going on. We talked about that, and we've talked about on the show how, as a result of that, there are employees at LSU who have been suspended. Former employees at LSU have lost their current jobs because of it. Les Miles lost his job as the football coach at Kansas. The former president of LSU at the time, he left LSU. He became president at Oregon State University. He just lost his job there because of what happened while he was president at LSU. So when you've got a school president and a school's football coach losing their current jobs because of what happened back when they were at LSU, it's a big deal. We talked about Darius Geis, the former star running back at LSU, who was a high draft pick in the NFL, and he has since been arrested for rape. And he was booted off the Washington NFL football team because that's who he was playing for. When that went down, so that investigation has been going on. Now there's another federal investigation. The feds are looking into LSU's football program in the wake of a current employee, someone who still works there. The associate athletics director, Sharon Lewis, is intending to file a $50 million lawsuit against LSU, their former football coach, Les Miles, and others there at LSU. And she still works there. Could you imagine suing your bosses for $50 million and you're still going to work there?
I only know one person that is currently working for a company that she works for, and she is in a legal dispute with them.
Well, continued reports of LSU simply ignoring or not addressing complaints of sexual assault and sexual harassment are now the center of a new federal investigation. The United States Department of Education confirms that the Office for Civil Rights is directly investigating whether LSU violated Title IX requirements. This investigation comes as the current associate athletics director, Sharon Lewis, just went public with claims of what she calls racist and degrading policies, sexist, in the athletics department. And again, this happened when Les Miles was the football coach. What Sharon Lewis is saying is that he pressured her and got other staff members to pressure her to hire white girls, blonde girls, and replace the black girls in what he said, Les Miles, were the ugly girls and the fat girls on the staff. This is what, again, current associate athletics director Sharon Lewis is claiming, and she intends to sue them for $50 million.
Okay, so let's break this down and dissect it. I get it. If true, if Les Miles does say this, and we all know Les Miles is attracted to, blonde women, You know, so he probably was trying to hire people within his personal preference. And, yeah, maybe his personal preference can seem a bit racist. I understand that. And if there is allegations of sexual misconduct and it wasn't reported to the Title IX coordinator, and I don't like Title IX for personal reasons, but, yeah, a federal investigation is warranted. Yeah, let's see what's going on. Let's get to the bottom of this. But to $50 million just because you were pressured to hire people that you feel is racist, $50
million. That's not the only reason she's suing, Coleman. She's suing also in this suit because she said she's been passed over for raises. And I guess she saw other people getting raises. And again, the most mind-blowing thing to me here is how she still works there. She's still the associate athletics director at LSU. And she's making all of these claims. And she's suing them.
For $50 million. $50 million. All right. I've been passed over for raises too, but that's because of my job performance.
Well, I guess, Coleman, if you want to make some money suing people, you have to sue them for a lot more than you're expecting to make. If she wants to make $1 million or maybe even $500,000 or $2 million, you sue for $50 million. And you hope that they come to an agreement with you for less than that.
So do you think if the program decides to terminate her, it looks like she has a better chance of winning the lawsuit? That's why they keep her around?
I don't understand how you can keep a job at a company that you're suing. Keep a job at any place that you're suing. And meanwhile, the current football coach of LSU, Ed Orgeron, was supposed to talk to a Louisiana State Senate committee tomorrow, Thursday. We talked about that. They requested him to show up there. They wanted to ask him some questions about sexual misconduct by some of his players while he's been there. He obviously replaced Les Miles. But he's not going in to talk to them tomorrow. Instead, he issued a statement to that Louisiana State Senate committee.
I was disappointed in that. I wanted Coach O to be a stand-up guy and just go there and face the music and tell his side of the story eye to eye or face to face.
He will not testify before the Louisiana Senate Select Committee on Women and Children tomorrow, as requested by the chairman or the chairwoman of that committee. But instead of testifying, he issued a statement. And that's all they're gonna get, at least for now, from him.
We're getting a lot of texts from Baton Rouge. This first one says they have to keep her because of her HR status, human resources status. Kevin says, so why didn't she bring this up when it happened? It sounds like she's looking for money. And this other Baton Rouge text says, so is she said, he said, is there any proof?
Well, you know, this is like one of the other issues. And it's something, there are several issues now that the LSU football program is dealing with. And one of the other issues, I brought up Darius Geis, and we talked about it, was it yesterday or 2 days ago on the show, that when he was in the Superdome, there was an older female security worker who was around 70 years old, and she says Darius Geis approached her and said, I like to do sex with women your age, while he was a member of the LSU football team. And we also told you when it came to that, someone close to her, the female security guard at the Superdome, evidently made a phone call requesting a $100,000 payoff. So that kind of looks like that's a financial shakedown, that they're looking for money there. So in this case, I could see how some would look at this and say, boy, this looks like people are just trying to get paid.
So John, The question is, do you think LSU football program will be making all of these headlines today if they had a season like they had with Joe Burrow was the quarterback?
That's a fair question, Coleman. They're coming off an awful season in the coronavirus season. But we didn't hear about any of this when they were going undefeated.
Exactly.
Winning a national championship a couple of years ago led by Joe Burrow.
And most of these allegations seem to happen before that season. So why is it coming out now, and why didn't it come out when they had the best season ever? I think the timing is kind of suspicious as well.
So people didn't want to mess up that great season that LSU had going on. And some would say that if you put all of this stuff together, all of these allegations, all of these accusations, and not a lot was getting done, they were protecting the program. Because the football program obviously is the biggest money generator there at LSU. I guess that's a fair question. So Ed Orgeron isn't going to go talk to that committee tomorrow like they requested. Instead, he just released a statement to them. And
bad optics.
Yeah, I wonder if you're listening, text us. Do you think LSU is going to survive this? Do you think Ed Orgeron is going to survive this without getting suspended, their football program being suspended from bowl eligibility, things like that? It's going to be hard for them not to face those repercussions. Text us at 504-260-9595. Please keep it short. Please don't text while you're driving. And if it's good, we will read it coming up next on the show.
And leave a name.
Yeah, put either your first name or a nickname or give us something to call you. Again, I don't see how LSU's football team survives this without getting reprimanded in a big way, like not being able to go to a bowl game for a year or two or losing scholarships, things like that. Because these investigations now, I mean, and more people seem to be coming forth. The LSU football program right now is a dumpster fire. You know, and their basketball coach is still coaching Will Wade, even though 2 years ago they have him on audio tape talking to a recruit about what's the best offer that you've gotten so far from a college to go. He survived that, and he's still coaching. There's an investigation into that going on right now. And boy, oh boy, their baseball team stinks this year. Boy, it's pretty rough in Baton Rouge for the big three sports at LSU. Text us 260-9595. Do you see any way how they could survive this without being reprimanded, the football program? I to be honest with you, I don't. And I wonder how long that woman, the associate athletics director, is still going to have a job there.
And I wonder if we would be hearing about this if they were winning. They won.
I wonder how long Sharon Lewis is still going to have a job there when you sue your bosses for $50 million. Here on Bayou 95.7. Making it rain now. You want to win some cash? Pay attention. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station, an Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. April is Alcohol Awareness Month. You know, binge drinking is defined as more than 5 drinks in one sitting. That's why after every 4th drink, I stand up. I don't want to be labeled. I don't want to be a binge drinker. Coming up next, your texts on all the different trouble the LSU football program is in. Stay tuned for that and more here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. I was just in the kitchen here at the radio station. Coleman, I just I found a couple of ketchup packets, and I stuffed them in my pockets because if you're just joining us, about an hour ago on the show, we were talking about how in our country there's a shortage of ketchup packets right now, all because of the coronavirus, the pandemic. And restaurants are running out of ketchup packets. And it could turn into a very valuable condiment.
So do you know anything about the missing toilet paper as well?
That I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
Thought we were past that problem. But now we're on to a new problem. And Heinz, by the way, said they're going to produce 25 billion ketchup packets to try to keep up with the ketchup packet demand. Also, if you're just joining us, we were talking about another federal investigation into the LSU football program. And this comes in the wake of a current employee there, the associate athletics director, Sharon Lewis, suing LSU for $50 million while she still works there. She's still the associate athletics director. Could you imagine suing the boss where you work and the company where you work for $50 million or for anything and still going to work there? She says that while Les Miles was the football coach, that Les Miles pressured her and got staff to pressure her to hire white girls, blonde girls, and replace the black girls and what he said were the ugly girls and the fat girls on staff. She also said that she was passed up for raises. And remember, this is just the latest. This has nothing to do with the sexual abuse allegations against former LSU running back Darius Geis and other former LSU players. This is different, and this is another federal investigation that the feds now are looking into LSU. Meanwhile, current head coach Ed Orgeron was requested to go speak in front of a Louisiana State Senate committee tomorrow, but he is not going to testify. He will not testify before the Louisiana Senate Select Committee on Women and Children tomorrow, as requested by their committee chair, a state senator out of Baton Rouge. But instead, Coach O sent a statement. He sent a long written statement for that. So there are several issues with the LSU football program right now. And I asked you to text us at 504-260-9595. What do you think?
Robert says, no special treatment. LSU should suffer for their wrongdoings. Officer Martin says, it's all talk. They need a confession or some sort of proof to make some changes. The integrity of the LSU has been compromised. B says, why should a group of people be reprimanded or held accountable for someone else's transgressions? Whomever was involved should pay the price.
Well, because, Texter, LSU should have done something to Les Miles when he was doing these things. Just like we don't know what the current coach, Ed Orgeron, knew about Darius Geis and the accusations against him while he was playing there that he sexually assaulted women, female students at LSU. And, I mean, there's stories going around that he heard about that, but Darius Geis didn't miss one down, let alone one game. He was never suspended or reprimanded. And so, boy, what a mess.
And Lynette says, if they terminated her, talking about the employee, then they will be up for wrongful termination suit. This is a fact. And they will end up having to pay her even more money. There has to be some caveats to that loss. I get that if they do fire her because of the lawsuit, yeah. But if she does something to violate company policy, I think then it's open season. You can't just go up to the boss's desk and crap on it and not get fired just because you're suing your boss at the time.
Well, we'll see what happens when these investigations are finished. Evidently, the higher-ups at LSU are getting hammered because over the last several years, they may have been told or made aware of certain things like and didn't do anything, wanted to protect the program. And we'll see. I just find it very hard to believe that LSU football team will get out of this unscathed. I think it may be a year or two before LSU will be able to play in another bowl game. They might get hurt with scholarships. Who knows what's going to happen? But right now, the football program, it's a dumpster fire. And that's the latest on that. Coming up next, Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints, the Pelicans, and a whole lot more. She's still the richest person in the state of Louisiana. Forbes magazine just released their list of the richest billionaires. And even though she made a lot of money, she's worth more money now than she was last year. She dropped in billionaire rankings. We'll explain that and more coming up on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station and Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show. Now, listen to the Def Leppard there. It's incredible the things you can remember. I vividly remember being in high school when Def Leppard was touring, opening for Billy Squire in arenas. And I remember being in school with friends saying, oh yeah, I went to the Billy Squire Def Leppard show last night, the opening band, Def Leppard. They were fairly new back then. The opening band, these kids from England, Def Leppard, they blew Billy Squire off the stage. They blew him off the stage. I mean, think about now. Think about that right now. Def Leppard opening for Billy Squire. And that was right before Billy Squire ended his own career by releasing that video for the song Rock Me Tonight that turned off so many of his fans. But I specifically remember being in high school with some of my friends saying, oh yeah, these kids from England, man. They blew Billy Squire off the stage. They're called Def Leppard. Isn't that something? Ask me what I had for lunch 2 days ago. But I couldn't remember, but that I remember. So Gail Benson is again the richest person in the state of Louisiana. Forbes magazine just released their list of billionaires, the Forbes billionaire list. And her net worth, Gail Benson, climbed again, but her ranking fell. So she got richer, but when it comes to other billionaires, on the list, she fell some spots. Forbes released its list of not just American billionaires, but global billionaires this week. And Gail Benson, the owner of the Saints and the Pelicans and other businesses, she ranked number 890 with a net worth of $3.4 billion.
Cha-ching.
She's the 297th richest person in the United States. But she's the 891st richest person on the planet.
I would have no problem being last on that list.
Yeah, There's a list you wouldn't mind being at the end of, right? Be at the bottom of that list.
I think it's kind of misleading how we word it, how we say even though she increased her financial gain, she fell in the billionaire rankings. I don't think she fell because she didn't necessarily decline. I think we should word it other billionaires just happened to become more billionaires than she did because she did go up. Like, her money went up. Her financial status went up. So the word fell just makes it seem like she lost something. She didn't lose anything. It's just that the other people on that list gained so much more.
Yeah, her ranking this year, again, in the world, when it comes to the richest people in the world, 891. She's the 891st richest person in the world. Last year, she was in the mid-600s.
I'll take that. I'll be in the 600s, the 800s. I'll be in the 1,000s. Just put me on the list somewhere.
She's the 8th richest owner of a professional sports team. Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is the richest owner of professional sports teams.
And the most intrusive.
He's worth just about $9 billion, $8.9 billion. Gail Benson is 8th on that list when it comes to American sports teams owners. At $3.4 billion. So she's still, she's about $5.5 billion under Jerry Jones.
You know, a few weeks ago, I did a day drinking, and I asked the people that were watching, because it's interactive, it's on Facebook Live, I asked them, if you were to hit the lottery, this is back when the Mega Millions was a big thing, I said, when you hit the lottery, what would you do with the money? And what's interesting is there was a difference between how women would spend the money and how men would spend the money. All the women that responded said they would spend the money. They would take trips. They would go see the world. They would add additions to their houses. They would put hot tubs in their bathroom. But all the men, what they would say they would do with the money is ways to gain more money. They said, I would buy a bigger truck so I can put more equipment in my lawn care business, or I would start my own record label, or I would invest in this, or I would start my own startup, or I would buy a food truck. Like, all of the men's ideas was based on investing the money to make more money, while all the women's ideas was based on how to spend the money. And I just thought that was an interesting dichotomy between the men and the women and how they would spend money.
When you've got that much money, Coleman,
mm-hmm.
you put a lot of it, you just put it someplace where it will make more money. Without doing anything except for just sitting there.
Yeah, that's what you would think. You're a man. But when I asked the women, they were like, no, I would dish it on this and throw it at that. And
well, not Gail Benson.
Oh, not Gail Benson, no.
Yeah, last year, when it came to American billionaires, she was number 249 on the list. And this year, she slipped to 297. That's out of people in the United States. So she's still doing very well for herself. And, you know, when Tom Benson died, she obviously married into that. But he's got, and now she's got, several businesses other than the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans. I mean, a bunch of car dealerships and got all kinds of businesses, investments, properties and things like that. So,
is it rude of me to ask if she's single?
She still is. I don't know.
Because I was trying to get Jeff Bezos' ex, but she already got hitched before I had a chance.
Mackenzie Bezos.
Yeah, Mackenzie. I was trying to get in on that, but she ended up marrying some lame teacher dude.
She married a school teacher. We talked about that on the show.
Screw that guy.
Gail Benson is now 74 years old.
I'll take it.
Well, careful, Coleman. I don't want you to sound like Darius Geis when he was in the Superdome when he saw that.
No, it wouldn't be
security guard.
I would treat her with the utmost respect.
So Gail Benson's net worth climbed again on the Forbes billionaires list, and she does so much for charity wise as well, and she donates a lot of money. So that's a fantastic woman, and she makes Louisiana proud. Yeah, she really does look. She looks really good for 74.
Yeah. But you know what, John? You know, our listeners may not have a chance to be a billionaire, but they have a chance to be a thousandaire.
Yeah, we're making it rain, giving you the chance to win $1,000 every hour, weekdays, from 6 a.m., from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. And here's your chance this hour. Pay attention. Good luck. From Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. An Odyssey station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. I just posted a wild video on our website, bayou957.com. This is out of Treme here in New Orleans. And a guy is inside his house. He sees someone trying to steal his car in his driveway. The guy runs out of his house, grabs the thief, and he's about to pound the thief's face in, but then the thief's co-thief, another thief, runs up to them with a gun drawn and points it at the poor victim, the car owner, and that enables the car thief to get away from the car owner and hop back into the car and take off. It's a 30-second video. That's all it is. If you haven't seen it, it's hair-raising. And I think most cops will tell you, don't confront thieves while they're stealing things from you. Because this guy is very lucky he didn't get shot. Though I can't blame him for wanting to protect his stuff. His property.
Now, that's my theory. Yesterday morning, John, when I was on my way here, you know, overnight, your car, it develops condensation, like the windows get all condensed and all that.
Sure.
Well, I was going to my car and I noticed that the window on my driver's side, it looked like somebody like wiped their hand across it as if they were trying to see into my car. And I thought it was kind of strange because I don't remember doing it. And I was like, huh, that's odd. And then when I got into my car and I started coming to work, I noticed that all the cars, the driver's side windows had that same little, like that wiping the condensation off, that wipe.
And somebody was casing cars.
Yeah, somebody was going around the neighborhood, you know, wiping the condensation off windows and looking in the cars, probably pulling handles as well to see what was going on or see if they had something of value inside of those cars. So
bastards.
Yeah, I told my neighbors to be on the lookout, but I wish I would have seen who it was. I asked some of my neighbors if they had those doorbell cameras just to see, but none of them, some of them do. One of them getting one installed today. But I think it's a ring. Like, these things are happening too frequently. I think there is a carjacking ring going on right now.
Well, carjackings and car thefts in New Orleans are just through the roof.
And they're organized. They are highly organized.
The numbers are incredible. But if you want to see that video, again, that video, it made the hairs on my arms stand up. It's on our website at bayou957.com. There's all kinds of cool stuff up there. Check that out. And when you go to our website, go over where it says on air, click on the John Osterlin Show. We've got all kinds of videos and stories and stuff. Some great pictures from the supermodel Irina Shayk. You look at those pictures, and that's what it makes you say. It makes you say, Shayk.
Holy shike.
Yeah, she's stunningly beautiful. There's a lot of stuff up there, but make sure you go check out that video of the guy who's very lucky he didn't get shot protecting his car from being stolen. It's up there now at bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlin Morning Show, and it's about that time of our show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Massachusetts woman didn't know she was pregnant for 9 months. There's a baby in the toilet. This woman's name is Melissa Sugarcough.
That's a cool last name, Sugarcough?
Surgicoff. Sugarcough sounds better.
It sounds more awesome. Imagine coughing sugar.
But how does she not know, with a cool last name, how does she not know she's pregnant? How does a woman go 9 months without knowing they're pregnant? She does have MS, multiple sclerosis. And her fiance, they've been together for 7 years. He's had some sort of brain injury, okay? But still, even with all of that being said, how do these two not realize this woman is pregnant for 9 months? She thinks she's passing a kidney stone. That's why she's having all this pain in her midsection. So she goes into her bathroom and a baby comes out. For Melissa Sergikoff and her fiance, Donnie Campbell, March 8th started out just like any other day until she suddenly started feeling intense cramping and pain. I called 911, she said, because we thought, he said actually, the fiance with the brain damage, I called 911 because we thought she was passing a kidney stone. The couple live in Peabody, Massachusetts. I spent a lot of years in Massachusetts on the radio. I went to college there. Peabody's on the North Shore. It's safe to say most other residents of Peabody, Massachusetts, most women who live there would realize that they were pregnant. If they were pregnant.
So now it makes me wonder how much did the baby weigh at birth if she didn't, like, was it a very tiny, small baby?
Once the baby was in the toilet, I guess the mother took it out and the baby's been healthy ever since. This new bundle of toilet joy. How is it possible for a woman to be pregnant for 9 months and she had no idea? Remember, she doesn't have the brain damage. Her fiance has had brain damage in the past. Don't women know everything? Don't women, aren't they supposed to know everything? How is it possible that a woman could be pregnant for 9 months and have no idea she's pregnant? And when she had, when she was about to give birth, she thought she was having a kidney stone.
I see a clue. One here says she did have regular cycles as if she wasn't pregnant. So I think that probably misled her, because even while she was pregnant, she still experienced the cycles, like regular cycles.
Her cycles.
Yeah, so
she's blaming her cycles.
That would be kind of misleading if you still, you know, go through your cycle while you're with at birth. And so it may be some kind of medical anomaly that we're in, or that I'm not aware of.
I didn't think it was humanly possible for a woman to be pregnant for 9 months and have no idea she's pregnant. Is it safe to say that's pretty dumb, or am I not being fair with this woman with multiple sclerosis, this woman from Peabody, Massachusetts?
I'm going to have to go with maybe it's probably a bit unfair. Billy says, my brother's wife's sister-in-law, that's a lot of relation. My brother's wife's sister-in-law went about 7 months without knowing that she was pregnant. That's
but at least she figured it out at the seven-month mark, right?
When she started showing?
Yeah, at least, Billy, at least she figured it out after the seventh-month mark. This woman went 9 months and went and had a baby on her toilet, and she thought she was passing a kidney stone.
This text says, I was pregnant for 6 months with my first son before I knew it. I just thought I was sick, and yes, I had regular cycles.
Okay, so we have a texter blaming the cycles.
It's not blaming the cycles. The cycles can be misleading. The cycles can throw you off and make you think something's going on that it is. I'm not a woman, so I wouldn't know.
No, but I could see how a woman would say that. How are you going to blame me? Blame my cycles.
West Bank Blair says the same thing. I had a friend whose girlfriend didn't know she was pregnant. All of a sudden, she was in labor. She had regular periods. So,
but at least she figured it out at some point, Blair, before the 9 months, right? This woman went 9 months. You would think you'd look down at your stomach and say, boy. Or maybe she just thought she was eating more. But how do you not notice a child growing inside you for 9 months? I could see a couple of months. I could see even a few months.
I'm going to have to take the high road on this one, John, and say, you know what? We're not women, so we can't understand what a woman goes through. We don't understand the intricacies of the woman's body, a woman's biology. Who are these two men, these cisgendered men, to say what can and can't happen to a woman? So let's just take the high road and be safe.
Well, as someone who lived in Massachusetts for a while, for a fairly long time, I was a masshole. And we used to call pretty much everybody who lived up there massholes. I don't know if I don't want to call them. This poor woman's got multiple sclerosis. Her husband, her fiance has got brain damage and brain injuries. So I don't think it's right to call them massholes. But boy, oh boy, the Massachusetts woman who didn't know she was pregnant for 9 months. There's a baby in the toilet. Sorry, but that's the dumbest thing I read all morning. You're on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock, an Odyssey station.